And we're started.
Okay.
And now let me put up the study. And let's see where the study went. Shabbat shalom to everyone out there in cyberspace. We are one of Messiah congregation, just a little piece of the Israel of God. And I'm trying to get a little focused here. we're Kahacha b'Mashiach, just part of the Israel of God. And I thank God we could be here today. Shabbat shalom. And thank you for being here today. Let's pray and ask God to bless and anoint this reading today, and may God be with us. Heavenly Father, Master of the Universe, we thank and praise you for another Sabbath. Bless and anoint this day. Bless the study. Bless the reading of your word. Let everything today be to the glory of the living God. We always ask you to forgive us any sin, any blemish, any spot. Lord, we hold no grudges. We have nothing against anyone. We feel clean before you, Father. We pray you, but however, Father, we pray you will stop the mouths of these lies coming against us. And I know you will, Father, in your time. Blessed this day in Yeshua's name. I thank God for the word of God, for the promises of God, and for the blessings of God. And may God bless you today on the Sabbath. Amen. Shabbat shalom, everyone. We are going to start the study. And today is February 21st, 2015, and we all know what February means by now. Unfortunately, the Catholics had their Ash Wednesday last week during a lot of snow, and that probably was fitting for that situation. Anyway, I want to say happy Rosh Chodesh to everyone. Today is the first day of Adar, the 12th month of God. And we started yesterday evening, and I thank God for it was spotted in Israel, and that's how we know. We follow Israel. We don't follow Judaism. We don't do it when we feel like, but we have actual proof, positive, that it's spotted. And it was seen yesterday evening, and today is the first day of the daytime hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to know where it says Adar, you can, many places in the Bible, but we read Esther chapter 6, verse 15, and it says the word Adar right there. And verse 7, it says it's the 12th month. And the word Adar means glorious, just so everybody knows that. And soon we'll be doing Purim on the 14th or 15th, and that's God's victory over Haman, our enemy. And I guess if you're Jewish, that would be... if you're of the God of Israel, I should say, you should participate. And it's not a Chag or a Chagag, which is in Leviticus 23. Some people got that all mixed up because they don't know Hebrew. But it's a Mishte, or Shatah, and which means a feast, a banquet, time to celebrate, because God destroyed our enemy, Haman, and stopped genocide of the people of God. So it's something we do... give credit to. It's not a feast of God, but it is a feast, a mishte. It's a shatah. And so learn a little more Hebrew, and maybe you'll understand that. Some people that thinking that it's in Leviticus 23. My ministry is a teaching ministry to bring up topics in the Bible that's never been discussed or mentioned in your life. And I like doing that. They've been deleted from most people's knowledge. Most people don't even have a clue that they're missing. I'm going to try to undelete some of them for you. For your convenience, all my studies may be viewed at these websites. I'm sure you're aware my server is still running. You could read them, you could listen to them, you could watch them, and you could even download them to your MP3 players. So that's available. I'm not streaming live today. Today you'll have to see the video later when I put it online, because we're not at the congregation. We have some real adverse weather here, a lot of slush and ice, and unfortunately Tennessee doesn't have the plow trucks that are needed to take care of the situation. Let's see here. If you want me to come to visit your location, I'd be glad to do that. That's what I'd always love to do, a little more personal appearance. So there's a link there. You could schedule me in. Now, today's topic is, which a lot of people Well, I never did a study like this, but I thought I should. It's called Prosperous or Not, Your Decision. And Jehovah makes a godly person to prosper, but the wicked he turns upside down. And I found that verse in Psalms 146:9, where Jehovah preserves the simple, he preserves the fatherless and the widow, but the wicked he turns upside down. First, before I start this whole message, I want to make sure you know this is not a prosperity message like all the churches do, and just claim it, and I don't even know the term, say it and claim it, or claim it and say it, or whatever they got. This is not one of those prosperity messages. Nevertheless, it says neither riches, excuse me, name it and claim it. This is not that. Neither riches nor poverty are true indicators of righteousness or unrighteousness. I want to make sure you know that. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. As you will see in the study, it is okay to be successful, prosperous, and be rich, just as long as you don't put this before the God of Israel. Otherwise, your riches become your God, and that is definitely pagan. We should want things that give us a meaningful and joyful life, which is our portion according to the Bible. A lot of people don't understand living joyfully is very important. If we go to Kohelet, which is Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 22, it says right there, "Wherefore I perceive there is nothing better than that a man should rejoice in his labor, should rejoice in his own works, for that is his portion. For who shall bring him to see what shall he have to do?" So we do rejoice in our works. Ecclesiastes 5:18 says, "Behold, that which I have seen, it's good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he takes under the sun all the days of his life, which God gives him, for it's his portion." So having a good life and a fruitful life and a prosperous life is of God. It's not if everything's done correctly. "Every man also to whom God had given riches and wealth and had given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God." So some people are envious and jealous at some people that are successful and wealthy and maybe have a little more than they do. And they covet, and they're envious, and it's very sad. Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, "Live joyfully with the wife whom I love all the days of my life." She's right over there, my Ishti, my wife. All the days of thy vanity, and everything's vanity, which thou hast given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. So all the things that we find pleasurable and joyful, they're all really vanity in the scheme of things, because one day we'll be with God in true happiness and true joy, and we'll understand what that really means. And one thing we want to make sure of, it says, "Two things have I required of thee, deny me them not before I die." This is really important. And I want God to do this for me too. And my wife always likes this scripture. It says, "Remove far from me vanity and lies. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with food convenient for me." And that's what we want. And we're not interested in being rich like the rich people of the world. We just want things that are convenient for us. I want to make sure that everyone being covetous and overindulging in anything is a sin. Don't be a hoarder. We are instructed in the Word to be moderate, which is temperate. And the reason why we want food that are convenient for us, or things that are convenient for us, we don't want poverty or riches, lest I be full and deny thee and say, "Who is Jehovah?" Or lest I be poor and steal and take the name of my God in vain. This is what it says in Proverbs. So anyway, we have in John, the third letter of John, chapter 1, verse 2, it says, "Beloved," John says, "and I say this to all of you out there in cyberspace, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. So it's very important that your soul is the most important thing, and that's prospering. Is everybody doing okay on Pow Talk there?
Yeah, very good.
Psalm 37, 25 says, and this is true. You know, I've been young, and yeah, now I am old, and I'm sure you can see me. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I've never seen that. I'd like to read two chapters one in Genesis chapter 24, and we're going to start, so you could read with me or read in your Bible, Genesis 24. Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and Jehovah had blessed Abraham in all things. Amen. And Abraham said unto his, I love that verse. He blessed him in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh. And I will make thee swear by Yehovah, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto thy son Isaac. Unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou come? And Abraham said unto him, beware that thou bring not my son thither again. Just have faith, Yehovah, God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. So believe in God. And the servant put his hand under his thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. Excuse me?
You missed verse 8.
Oh, I missed verse 8? Excuse me. And if a woman be not willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and sware to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed from all the goods of his master wherein his hand. And he rose and went to Mesopotamia, the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, let Jehovah God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Amen. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink, she shall say, drink, and I'll give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that had that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. Praise the Lord. That's a nice fleece, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Notice how he said it before it happened, which is important.
Absolutely.
And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebecca came out, who was born to Bethuel, the son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man know her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camel also until they have done drinking. And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all the camels. And the man wondering at her lifted up his piece, to wit whether Jehovah had made, held his peace, to wit whether Jehovah had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half a shekel of weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter are you? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. And she said moreover unto him, We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed his head and worshipped Jehovah. Amen. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Prospered him. This is what you call prosperous. And he said, Blessed be Jehovah, God of my master Abraham, who had not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, and Jehovah led me to the house of my master's brethren. Amen. And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rivkah had a brother, and his name was Laban, and Laban ran out unto the man unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earrings and the bracelets upon his sister's hands, and when he had heard the words of Rivkah, his sister, saying, Thus spake the man unto me, that he came unto the man, and behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, Come in, thou blessed of Jehovah. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for thy camels. And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the man's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat, that means food, but he said, I will not eat until I have told mine errand. And he said, Speak on. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And Jehovah had blessed my master greatly. And see, he's blessed. Abraham was rich. He blessed him greatly, and he became great. And he had given him flocks and herds and silver and gold, men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. Here's Abraham. He doesn't sound broke to me. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him he had given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, Peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, Jehovah, before whom I walk, will send his angel with thee, and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, and thou, when thou come to my kindred, and if thou give not thee one, then thou shalt be clear of thy oath. And it came this day unto the well, and I came this day unto the well and said, Jehovah, God of my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water. And it shall come to pass that when the virgin comes forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water, and of thy pitcher to drink, she shall say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same woman be the woman whom Jehovah had appointed out of my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, he said this in his heart, Behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down into the well and drew water, and said unto her, and I said unto her, give me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink. And she said exactly what he said in his heart, and I'll give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter are you? And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earrings upon her face and the bracelets upon her hand. I knew that was her. And I bowed my head, hallelujah, and worshipped Jehovah and blessed Jehovah, God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. And Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceeded from Jehovah. We cannot speak unto thee good, bad, or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as Jehovah had spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard these words, he worshipped Jehovah, hallelujah, bowing his head to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. And he gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. Praise mm-hmm. the Lord. Mm-hmm. So it's okay to have precious things and good mm-hmm. things when God's right there. And they did eat and drink, he and the man that were with him, and tarried all night, and they rose up in the morning, and he said, send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, let the damsel abide with us a few days, at the least 10, and after that she shall go. And he said unto them, hinder me not, seeing Jehovah had prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. Could you imagine this? Mm-hmm. And they called Rebekah, who's Rivka, and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. Mm-hmm. And they sent away Rebekah, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, thou art our sister, be thou a mother of thousands of millions. Yeah. She was. And let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Rebekah arose and her damsel, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well, Heloi Roi, and he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at the eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. And she said unto the servant, what man is this that walks in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, it's my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. And Isaac brought her unto his mother's, Sarah's tent, and took Rebekah. That was it, folks. Mm-hmm. And she became his wife. There was the big marriage ceremony. And he loved her, and Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. So there's one way of being prospered. Mm-hmm. And by fleeces and by really keeping the commandments of the living God. And I hope you enjoyed that. And now we're going to move to Genesis 39, one more chapter. And let me have a little drink here of water, and then we'll see. Chapter 39 says, and Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, brought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And Jehovah was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. Yes. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that Jehovah was with him, and that Jehovah made all that he did to prosper in his hand. So this is God making the righteous people prosper. And Jehovah found, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, and he made him overseer over his house, and all that he had, he put into his hand. Talk mm-hmm. about having favor with your enemies. Mm-hmm. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer over his house and over all that he had, that Jehovah blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of Jehovah was upon all that he had in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. Praise the Lord. And that's the way we are. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." And she was a wicked lady. And he refused, like a godly person should, and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master, wot it not what is with me in this house, and he had committed all that he had to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither had he kept back anything from me but thee, because you're his wife. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I believe in the God of Israel." And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into his house to do his business, that there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. She was really wicked, real wicked lady. And it came to pass, when she saw that he had left his garment in his hand, and that he fled forth, then she called unto the men of the house, of her house, and spake unto them, saying, "See, he had brought in a Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice, 'What a liar!' And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got himself out of here. And she laid his garment by, and she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, 'The Hebrew servant which you brought unto us came unto me to mock me, and it came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, he left his garment with me and fled out. And it came to pass, when his master heard these words of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, "After this manner did thy servant to me," that his wrath was kindled, and Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in the prison. But Jehovah was with Joseph and showed him mercy, amen, and gave him favor in the sight of the keepers of the prison. And that's another way of prospering. God gives you favor again in the sight of wicked people in adversity. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did, he was the doer of it. So there he gets favor in the eyes of God, of the people. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because Jehovah was with him, and that which he did, Jehovah made it to prosper. Amen. Mm-hmm. And Jehovah can make anything to prosper. So we see that when you read the whole story, that God blessed Joseph and made everything that he did to prosper. So it is, there is a hand of God with the people of God to cause them to prosper. But remember, the wicked, he turns upside down. Now I'd like to read some single verses. This isn't going to be a long study. In the book of Numbers, we read chapter 14, verse 41, and Moses said, "Wherefore now do you transgress the commandments of Yehovah? But it shall not prosper." So if you break the commandments, you and whatever you're trying to do is not going to prosper. In the book of Deuteronomy 23, it says, "He that's wounded in the stones or had his privy member cut off shall not enter into the congregation of Yehovah. A bastard shall not enter into the congregation of Yehovah. Even to the tenth generation shall he not enter into the congregation of Yehovah." Anyone who stays in these situations never should enter. An Amorite or a Moabite shall... Ammonite. Or Moabite shall not enter into the congregation of Yehovah. Even to the tenth generation shall they not enter into the congregation of Yehovah forever if they stay in that situation. Because they met you not with bread and with water in the way when you came forth out of Egypt. And because they hired against you Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, of Mesopotamia, to curse you. Nevertheless, Yehovah thy God would not hearken unto Balaam, but Yehovah thy God turned the curse into a blessing unto thee, because Yehovah thy God loved thee. And that's what happens when people try to curse us and lie against us and call us names. We just keep getting blessed more and more. Thou shalt not, it says, and of course these wicked people, we don't care how much money they have or what they have, we never seek their peace nor their prosperity all the days forever. Deuteronomy 28:29 says, "And thou shalt grope," and when you break the commandments of God and you're a liar against the people of God and cause slander and rachil, the evil tongue, and you're just say so many things against us, it says you're gonna grope at noonday and the blind as the blind gropes in the darkness, and you're not gonna prosper in your ways. And thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save you. Deuteronomy 29:9 says, "Keep therefore the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in everything that you do." And we do that. We acknowledge God in everything we do. And may God bless and anoint us and help us more, Father, because we keep your commandments. Amen. With health and life. The book of Joshua says, chapter 1, verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the Torah, which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not to the right hand or the left, that thou mayest prosper in whatsoever thou do. Whatever you do is going to prosper if you keep God's commandments. This book of the Torah shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success. Amen. And I see the people of God, this happening too, and people that are not of God, they keep getting cursed. Psalm 1:1 says, "Blessed is the man," and of course the woman also, "who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but they delight in the Torah of Yehovah, and in the law, and in his law do they meditate day and night." Listen to this, "and they shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water."
Happy
and healthy, right? Mm-hmm. "That brings forth her fruit in her seasons. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper." Again, there it is. "The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Jehovah knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish." You know, I could tell you a little example of what happened to me recently. You know, I thank God we do have rental properties, And one of our rental properties was becoming available. We put it online. You know, I wasn't thinking, I thought we'd get a few responses. I got about 50 responses or more, an overabundance. So we rented our property, 1, 2, 3. So again, God is prospering us. And you know, in Psalm 122, verse 6, it says, if you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Sha'alum shalom, Yerushalayim, they shall prosper that love thee. Yes, and we love God's land, and I always pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and it's such a wicked world, you know. I pray God will bring us back there one day to visit it. It says, peace shall be within your walls, and prosperity in your palaces. What more can you ask for? Is everyone liking this message? That's if you keep the commandments, that is. Proverbs 28:13 says, you know, if you cover your sins and you don't get rid of them, you shall not prosper. But whoso confess it and forsakes them, not just confessing, but forsaking them, shall have mercy. Ecclesiastes 7:14, in the day of prosperity, be joyful, which we do, we are, and in the day of adversity, we consider, that's true. Isaiah 48:15 says, this is God talking. He says, I have spoken, I have called him, I have brought him, and he shall make his way prosperous. Come unto me, hear ye this. Have I not spoken? I have not spoken in the secret from the beginning, from the time that it was. There am I, and now I, Yehovah, and his Spirit had sent me. Amen. Lord Yehovah had sent me, and his Spirit had sent me. Thus say Yehovah, thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am Yehovah, thy God, which teaches you to profit. Amen. Which leads thee by the way that thou shouldest go. And God does teach us how to do this. Oh, that you would hearken to his commandments. That's all God wants you to do. If you keep his commandments, God will bless your life. And it even says in the book of Malachi, if you tithe, if your barns, your will not even be able to contain the blessings of God. Isn't that amazing? We make sure we tithe every month to our own congregation. Our congregation is separate from us. Isaiah 53:10 says, yet it pleased Jehovah to bruise him. And it doesn't mean that the Father was pleased to bruise his word. It means that he was pleased that he accepted what he needed to do. And the Father put, it says, the Father had put Messiah to grief. In other words, not that it was his aim to do that, but because Messiah accepted the bonds that was put upon him, it caused grief. And it says, and thou shalt make Messiah's soul an offering for sin. Messiah shall see his seed, and we're part of that. And he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of Jehovah shall prosper in Messiah's hand. There's our example of prospering. And everyone should know this verse, that if you're of the God of Israel, no weapon that is formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise up against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. Amen. This is the heritage of the servants of Yehovah, and their righteousness is of me, saith Yehovah. Praise the Lord. So we see that the people of God, a lot of them weren't broke. I mean, think about it. They were kings. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all these people. Please keep the commandments and test God. He will prosper you. Isaiah 55 says, for as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but waters the earth, and makes it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing, where until I send it.
Mm-hmm.
And when we use God's word and we keep his commandments, the same thing happens with us. And now this is, some people are just hasty to be rich, and that's not something you should be desiring. To be hasty to be rich is foolish and evil. Like I said earlier, we just want things that are convenient for us, that are just, we don't want to be rich or poor. We just want to have an even keel here. Proverbs 23 says, labor not to be rich, cease from your own wisdom. Watch out for all those fast get-rich schemes, all those schemes. You never get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
The only people that get rich are the ones that are presenting it to you, because they find a bunch of foolish people to take on these crazy schemes. Proverbs 28:6 says, "Blessed is the poor that walks in his blessed is the poor that better is the poor, excuse me, that walks in his uprightness than he that is perverse in his ways, though he be rich." Of course, if you're better, if you walk in the righteousness of God and the judgments of God, a faithful man will abound with blessings, and I feel like that's like us. But he that makes the haste to be rich shall not be innocent. Of course not. You know, if you haste to be rich, you have an evil eye. And you consider not that poverty is going to come upon you. Right. Don't haste to be rich. That's not what this life is all about. Proverbs 11:4 says, "Riches profit not in the day of wrath." So if you're not keeping the commandments, your riches are not going to save you. But righteousness delivers from eternal death, which never ends. "He that loveth pleasure shall be a poor man. He that loves wine and oil shall not be rich." We don't love these things. The love of money is the root of all evil. That's what I forgot to put that scripture down. You know, we're not dying for money and dying for stuff. We work for our own living. And we don't get salaries for what we do. In God, that is. Paul tells the Corinthians, "For ye know the grace of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that through his poverty you might be rich." And we're rich in the blessings of God and the ways of God, and we can't wait to be with God. Amen. Paul tells Timothy, "Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. And they that have believing masters, let them not despise them because they are brethren, but rather do them service because they are faithful and beloved, partakers of the benefit. These things teach and exhort." Now, some people don't like authority, and that's a shame. "Now, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, they are definitely proud, and they know nothing, and doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof comes envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth. These people suppose gain is godliness. From such withdraw yourself. But I can tell you this for a fact, godliness with contentment is great gain. And just being content with what you have is more than you could ever want. I'm content with what we have, and you know, I'm not desiring to be like Bill Gates or the Vanderbilts or anyone else. Godliness with contentment is great gain. You know why? You know why I'm like that? Because I realize we brought nothing into this world. And it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. But because we know those, like the people that are filthy rich, they will fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you have knowledge of a lot of rich people that have died before their time because they do all these crazy, I call them risking their life sports, and they don't make it. For the love of money, I do have it. The love of money is the root of all evil. I mean, money is just something we have just to, we work for, just to put a roof over our head and food in our bellies and buy a few things to have an enjoyable life, but we're not desiring anything. We don't need a lot of things to be happy. The love of money is the root of all evil, which why some covet it after. Some people covet it. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man and woman of God, flee these things. That means sprint, get away from them, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto you're called, and have professed a good profession before many witnesses. And now, before I conclude this study, I thought we'd read a little parable from Yeshua of an ungodly rich man.
Oh, it says rich man.
Ungodly rich man.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong? Okay. This is Luke chapter 16, verse 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a godly man that was a beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. And the rich man couldn't care less, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, moreover the dogs came and licked his sores. How sad.
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. That means he went to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the people that are with him. He didn't go into the grave, okay? His spirit went back to God who gave it. His flesh went to the grave,
mm-hmm.
but his spirit went back to God. And guess what? The rich man, his riches didn't save him. There's no discharge in that war. You can't get discharged from when it's time to go. The rich man died also and was buried. And in hell, the place that a lot of Bibles took out, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeing Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip just the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. So here we have an eternal place called hell, which is a holding place before death and hell are cast into a lake of fire, which is the second death. But he's tormented in this flame. And Abraham said, remember that you in your lifetime, you receive good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he's comforted, and you're tormented, because you never kept the commandments. And besides all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they that would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. And he said, I pray thee, Father, that thou would send him to my father's house. I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they come into this place of torment. It's a place of torment. It's not just sleeping in the dust or sleeping in some grave. It's a place of torment. Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, but wait a minute, Abraham. If one came from them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, and he said unto him, I want to tell you, if they don't hear Moses and the prophets, they'd never believe or be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Anyway, so there's a story of a rich, evil person and a godly, poor person. And that Lazarus today is in the kingdom of heaven forever. Eternal bliss and happiness. So in closing, I just want to say we are aware that sometimes bad things happen to godly people, whether in sickness or job-related situations or possibly even in an accident, that they may become incapacitated. You know, we are aware of that. We're instructed to open our arms wide and help with godly people that are trying their best. This is one of the reasons we do take tithes at our congregation, so we can assist godly people in their adversity. I want to make sure everybody hears this. Everything that I and my wife and the other people at our congregation do for the congregation, we do for free. I'm doing this right now for free. And we do not take salaries. We do not spend tithes on ourselves, contrary to the lies that have been said about us on Facebook and other places and other forums. Some people, unfortunately, are just flat out jealous and envious over godly people that are successful, whether in academia or business. However, we are very happy when anyone in the body of Messiah are successful in any way. In fact, we celebrate their success. Anyone who knows us or has been at our congregation should know these things about us and the way we really are. Anyway, I'm going to say Shabbat Shalom. This hasn't been a long study, but I hope you got something out of this study. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you. We keep your commandments and we fear you, and we anticipate more blessings because this is what we do, Father. We cherish your blessings and you being with us in health and healing and strength. And give us the finances to get the gospel out. Heavenly Father, we pray today you'll bless the rest of the Sabbath day. Bless all the brothers and sisters around the world that keep your commandments. And bless them, Father. Help them with health and healing and financial needs, spiritually, physically. Help every movement that they make in their lives. Help them, Lord and God. Bless the rest of the Sabbath day, the singing, the food, everything we do. Let it be to the glory of the living God. And I thank you, Lord and God, for this message. And I pray you will stop the mouths of these people lying against us, Heavenly Father. And I won't tell you how to do it or what to do, but you're very aware of it, Father. And bless those that keep your commandments and prosper us in Yeshua's name. And may God bless you and be with you today. Shabbat Shalom, everyone. And I'm going to stop the audio. Well, before I stop it, does anyone want to come up and say anything? I'll get off the mic and I'll record you too. Anyone would like to come up?